The Iker of the Shir is on Pasuk Yud, and the phrase Uba'avoid Rishoyim Rina. To what extent is it possible, or is it even a chiyuv, to rejoice at the destruction of Rishoyim? And we find that even Halacha Lemaisa, this is very much Nageya. Is there an inyan of Kriya to a Karev who is a Rasha? And also the issues of Kavura and where to bury him. That part of it we're not going to discuss, but it is a shaila in the Poskim. In the Inyan of Kriya, I'm bringing a Rosh that mentions a Ramban. And also the question of Avelus. Is a person to be Misabel on a Rosha who is a Karov, which would normally be Mechayiv and Avelus of Shiva and Shloshim and Yud Beis Chodesh sometimes? And it's interesting that some are mechalik between parents who might be misabel that they produce such a child, as opposed to other krovim who are misabel lechvoid, the nifter might not apply if the nifter is a rosha. But let's begin with Patsuk Ches, which we are up to. Tzadik mitzora necholotz vayovoi rosha tachtov. The tzadik is saved from the tzara, and subsequently, in that tzadik's place, the classic example that immediately comes to mind, of course, is Haman. That Haman made the eitz gavoa chamishim ama, and in fact, vayoyim hamelech tuluhu alav, vayislu es Haman al ha'eitz asher heichin lemordechai. So the eitz asher heichin lemordechai is exactly this pasuk, tzadik mitzora nechalotz, like chaltzenu, right? Vayovay rosha, the rosha came to serve in his stead, in his place. Zok de gra, tzadik mitzora nechlatz ha-tzadik afal pi shebol of tzora hu nechlatz mehatzora. And in the parentheses, which is the hagah of the magia of the pirush, lani yizdaiti sha'oma l'shoi nechlatz sh'loi dai sh'nitzol min hatzora el'shiyeh nechlatz. He learns that the word nechlatz comes similar to chayim shel chilutz atzomis. It means a strengthening of the bones. So he says, "Va'atzmoisecha yachlitz sheyie kegan rove k'moy Mordechai shemin atzora olo l'gdula v'doniyah v'chananiyah mishol v'azal yevchein shorei hatzadikim," that they became important in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. So the idea here is that the tzaddik is not only saved in the sense that he doesn't suffer, but also that actually he becomes strengthened and is oila from that tzara. Vayovei rosha tachtov, zok degro v'oisoi hatzara einoi chayzeres reikom. He says the tzara of the tzaddik had a purpose that it eventually brings the rosha down. Elo harosha b'tachtov v'osa tzara atzma, k'may homon v'oisan sheil shinu al kananya mishol v'azaryon. Some of the mefarshim of Mishlei with the Birak Hagra, they mention that it's lav davka hilshinu. It means those who threw the three of them into the kivshana esh. But in any case, they received their upcomings, and Hanani Mishol Bazaria were actually oila l'gdula. The next posuk befe chonef yashchis reyehu uvdas sadikim yecholaitzu. The person who has a pe chonef, a mouth, chanef normally means chanifa. Chanifa is what? Flattery, which is of course inappropriate and incorrect. Compliments and flattery, in this sense of the word flattery, are two separate worlds. It's very appropriate to correctly compliment somebody. You're giving him the matana of recognizing his milus and showing that you know about his milus. But the difference between a compliment and flattery is meant, first of all, for personal gain, and secondly, most likely, isn't even true. So, as the expression goes, flattery will get you everywhere. Is that the expression? Anyhow. But this is flattery. So he says here, the Gra, Befe chonef yashchis reyehu. Mashchis, why does the Mishlei Pasuk use the word yashchis, hashchasa? He says, because we are talking about bein adam la mokaim, Now it's very interesting. The pasuk seems to be speaking bedavka about bein adam lechaveiro. Befechonef yashchis re'ehu. And here comes the Gra in his classic way of saying, no, you don't understand the pasuk. Mashchis nikra ba'aveiro shebein adam lamokim. As the pasuk says, shehishchis as Yisrael aviyim shebashamayim. Chaverhu le'ish mashchis. Become ukamosha kosuv noyif isha chasalev mashchis nafshay. His mashchis, his nefesh means his mashchis, his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'abor lohadiyach, the person comes, what does he mean lohadiyach? You're talking about somebody that wants to destroy you. Legabe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bein adam lamokom, is mesis amediyach. So he says, va'abor lohadiyach, how does he do his hadocha? What does he do to influence the other person? He uses a pechonef. You see all of these missionaries, Rachmana Litzlan, that tried to bring in Yidden into their net that they spread. How did they spread the net? With sweet talking and offerings of bribes and all kinds of incentives, specifically to poor people who are innocent and ignorant. So he says, Va'bol hodiyach hu bepechonef. Kizulas ze ef shaloy lohadiach. So if he wouldn't have that sweet talking mouth, he would never be able to accomplish anything, because the thing itself is empty and full of sheker. But he deludes the people into embracing something by using this pechonef. For lochein, and this is a very, very important expression. Lochein roiv minim toivim beteva. Now here there's a whole shaila, and I noticed that a number of the Sfarim that deal with the Biur Hagra in one way or another raise this point directly or indirectly. The question is the Gra describing a nature, or is the Gra describing an attitude? What I mean to say is, the person who's in Min and Apikiris and is trying to convince somebody, what is the tool of his convincing? His midos toivos that he offers him. The niceness, the gentleness. You have a lot of times these people who try to inspire others. They're dressed immaculately, and they're very generous, and they have a very smooth way of talking, and they're extremely polite. And then, of course, you go to 13th Avenue, and you know, need I finish the sentence, Vindesakt? But the truth of the matter is, where is the emes? And where is the true gutzkeit? And where is the real chesed? As a chazal say, chesed lumim chatos, the pasuk, chesed lumim chatos is that even their chesed is chatos. You see, that says they put on the show. It's possible, however, to learn the Gra and read these words very differently. Namely, that minim and apikorsim could be very good people. The etzah of the yetzahara of the satan is to give the midos toivos inside every person a push, a chizuk, in order that people should be inspired by their example to become an apikoros as well. In other words, it's lav dafka that this is put on, or that it's a show. It could be that the apikursus allows for the midos toivos to be projected that they have naturally within them. So you'll ask me, we need to say that apikursim are generally nicer than erlich hayidin? The teretz is as follows. Anything that the satan challenges becomes a nisayon. And not everybody is oimid bin nisayon. Anything that the satan encourages and supports does not have that nisayon. So I have two people who have inherently good natures, and they want to be meitiv, and they want to act nobly, and they want to be nice. One person is struggling because the satan is fighting him tooth and nail at every step. The other person finds it very easy to be nice. And that's because the satan is corroborating that part of him and supporting him. Why should it be so? because he wants this person to be matzliach with others so that he can capture them. They become enamored with his good side. They become impressed with his midos tovos. And they say, if he's like that, then mistama, what he has to sell has some merit and validity. And it's a remarkable thing. He says it on a paper, but you look in the world and you see it mamish b'chush. It's incredible. And I'll tell you something else. Missionaries sometimes have this tremendous altruism, this unbelievable gutzkeit, that they sacrifice themselves and they go to some ir nidacha somewhere in Africa and who knows where, and they even take risks with their lives. They have to drink the poisonous waters, and they have to be worried about being consumed by cannibals, chveis, or they went out west to missionize the Indians, and they get scalped. I mean, this is not something that an average person would be interested in doing, even if he's nice. So where did they get that? So you'll say, their quote-unquote love for their God is pushing them and inspiring them. That is probably only part of the truth. The other part of the truth is that the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, all the Koiches HaKeyim in the world are pushing them forward. Masha Ein Kein, somebody who has the emes in his pocket and wants to sell it, all of a sudden he starts worrying about what's going to be with the poisoned waters. And what's going to be with being scalped? I don't want to be scalped. I don't want to be scalped. And this is not poshut. It's an interesant nezach. So the when you notice sometimes that people do really extraordinary things, it sometimes requires you to ask the question, to what purpose and effect? And is the Satan against him or is the Satan with him? This, by the way, is also a chelik of what we've said a number of times in the name of the Gra on the Pasuk Vatera Kimisametzes Iloleches, that Rusa Moavia was struggling actually. And her feet were dragging. Ad Kedekach, that Naomi was much older and much more frail. Yeshiva Haraya, that she doesn't go out into the fields to glean. She sends Rus later on. She can't go out. She doesn't have any kayach. And nevertheless, she was ahead of her on the highway. And she saw that Ruas was dragging her feet. What are you dragging your feet? The teretz is because the Satan was telling her, don't go. And to do a mitzvah, to do a davar choshuv, says the Gra, your body is not so enthusiastic because the koichos inside the person, letoiv, are being challenged by the Satan constantly. And the Yetzer Hara, he says, sometimes is mislavish. In a midah taiva, if the Yetzer Hara wants to succeed, he'll make you be very good. Because the being good in that context, whatever the matzav is actually making the person do a chait. So it's exactly bedoyme that he says over here, v'chein roiv minim toivim b'teva. Ki goinev leiv re'ehu umashchis oisai. So you see the question in the first part of the phrase, roiv minim toivim b'teva, sounds like it's natural. And as I said, because the Satan is pushing him forward in that direction to be good in order to ensnare the victim. But the next phrase sounds like it's a bluff. Ki goinev leiv re'ehu umashchis also. So it could be that ki goinev leiv re'ehu goes on the missionizing, but not on the midah. So it's hard to know. There's not enough here to be clear whether the Gaon had in mind that this is a natural instinct which is projected and pushed forward by the Satan, or it's not natural, it's put on, and it's really artificial. It's the artifice of the person who wants to capture his victim, his prey. V'zehu b'feh chonev al yedei ha'peh chonev yashchis esreyehu. U'v'das tzadikim. Here it says das, not peh. Yecholaitzu, rakat tzadikim she'oiskim tomit b'mitzvah Hashem, v'yodim darkei Hashem, heimo yakiru pituyov, she'dvorov sarim midivrei Hashem, u'mevinim she'ma she'medabrim dvorim toivim, hu chonev, u'machmazeh yecholaitzu. Here is very interesting that the Gaon combined the tzadikim and the Pechonev into one story. You see, very often we have that the pasuk will speak about the negative people, and then separately, and what about the positive people? So in that context, you could have said that these are two separate stories. The Gaon makes it one story. He's saying that if the Rasha, with his pechonef, tries to ensnare the tzaddik will not be misled, will not allow himself to be ensnared and captured. So he makes one story out of it, which is fascinating, as if to say, if you look at the pasuk itself again, b'fechonef yashkes reyehu, abel, avol, b'das tzadikim yecholetsu. He learns yecholetsu means not they will be strengthened, he learns yecholetsu means they will be spared. They will protect themselves from the pechonef, and they will not be captured. Very interesting. The next pasuk, Betuv tzadikim ta'alotz kilya, uba'avod reshoim rina. Now here's very interesting. Again, there's a parallel, but yet, why? Because in both halves of the pasuk, there's a rejoicing. The tzadikim cause joy, and the reshoim cause joy when they are no longer in their demise. Uba'avod reshoim. So the city rejoices in the good that the tzaddikim do. And b'nogeh the rishayim, there's only misery. But when the rishayim finally come to an end, then they rejoice as well. Ba'avod rishayim rina. Zok de gra. Ki ka'asher HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzil es amo Yisrael mitzareihem, ha'im dem aleihem mitchila, goyel oysam umeitiv lohem, v'achakach noikem es nikmosam mehatzorim. K'moy b'mitzrayim. And he gives the example, obviously, of Mitzrayim, and then Mordechai and Haman. Shemitchilo go'al oysom, v'chakach ibdom, he was ma'abid, the Mitzrim, b'yamsuf. V'chein b'Haman, mitchilo heitiv l'Mordechai, v'chakach hipil es Haman, v'yislo oysoy. B'kedei, shehu ba'atzmoy roye gedulas Yisrael, v'sheh havayu elikim b'chol ha'aretz. The idea here is that if he would eliminate the Russia before the success, the Russia would not be able to have to admit and to acknowledge Godless Hashem and the Hatzloch of the Tzaddikim. So I don't think it means that he wants to make the Russia suffer by putting his nose into the manure, so to speak, by making him realize that not only did he not succeed, but actually the tzaddik, his enemy, is successful. And he has to see that before he goes out of the world. I don't think it's part of his punishment as much as part of ribui kvod shamayim, that even the Rasha is forced to acknowledge the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the tov that he does for tzaddikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have, and by the way, this also answers a very important question. We ask the question many, many times, whether we ask it to others or we ask it to ourselves. Why does the Ribbono Shel Olam play this kind of brinksmanship with Klal Yisrael? Lamaisa, they are miserable, they have suffered plenty, they are exhausted from their suffering. And finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim. This is a moment of incredible joy. The whole thing is in a big behola, and the whole thing leads immediately to a crisis. It doesn't take mamish a moment, and there's already a crisis. The crisis of Yamsuf. And the Yidden really think that they're finished, that they're goners. The question is obvious. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a toiv and a meitiv, and finally he's taking them out of Mitzrayim. What do they need this for? Why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu show Klal Yisrael before they come between the rock and the hard place, between Mitzrayim here and the Yam there,
that he has wiped out the entire Egyptian encampment. There's nobody left on dry land long before they arrived to threaten the Jews. Madua, what did we send them away? Shilachnus Yisrael me'avdeinu, v'yeser es richboi v'es amoi lo kachimoi, and he takes sheishmei es recha bochu v'shalishim akur, and say, and right then and there, as he gets into his chariot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a plague upon them, or whatever, the ten makas, there's plenty in his arsenal, and there's meant plenty more besides, and he finishes them off, chick-chack, and they Israel have this tremendous feeling of success, of pride, of hatzlacha, and that's that. That's what they deserve. So why do we need this maisa of Yamsuf? So there are, I would say, two terutzim, before we get to the terutz that we find here in the Gra. Terutz number one does not apply to all cases, but if you're talking about Mitzrayim, and even if you're talking about Haman, we might suggest this terutz. Namely, when the Yidden came out of Mitzrayim, they were avodim. The Eved has everything done for him. He makes no decisions. From the morning till the night and to the next day, he's told what to do. With that kind of mentality, you are not a free person, even if physically you are not any longer under anybody's master. You know, you had in the Civil War that a lot of the slaves who were emancipated came back to those plantations because they had nowhere to go and they couldn't understand how they would manage their lives. Nobody ever gave them that education. Sometimes you need to make a decision. And in order to make a decision, you have to make choices. And in order to make choices, you have to have nisyonos. You have to have a problem. What do I do now? And the minute that Nachshon ben Aminadov jumped into the water, and the people in the water itself, while it was still raging, that was a moment of setting themselves free in their own nature and their own spirit. And then they would have been able to go ahead further and to be mekabel the Torah as free people. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make everything easy for them, that moment might never occur. You have a very interesting parallel in the case of Haman, I think. There was a kimu v'kiblu afterwards. This required the sakana of lahashmid laharug l'abed. It wasn't the Yeshua that made them kimu v'kiblu. It was the nisayon that preceded the Yeshua. And that is teretz number one. By the way, Derech Agav, I use that teretz to explain what seems to be a stira. We just said before that the Egyptians gathered to do what? What was the original intention? Is mazoi sosinu, ki shilachnu es Yisrael me'avdeinu. We sent Yisrael away from serving us. We have no servants. Let's get them back. Isn't that the pashup shat? What did we do? Let's go and get them back. How did we let them go? They forgot already about Makkas Bechoris. They forgot about all the Makkas. They're rushing to get them back. In Shiras Hayam, you hear a different agenda entirely. What does it say in the Oz Yashir? Omar Oyev, Erdov, I will chase after them. Asig, Achalik Sholol, Timlo Emo Nafshi, Orik Charbi, I will unsheathe my sword. Toiri Shemo Yodi, and my hand shall cut them down. Yes or no? So here it's mashma that they're going to be returned to make them slaves once again. And in Oz Yosher it's mashma that they are saying that we will cut them down. We'll kill them. So which is it? The answer is both are true. Initially they wanted to bring them back, but then the Egyptians saw something from a distance which was inspiring them to understand that they will never be slaves again. So what's the next best thing? Avada killed the Jews. Why did they feel that way suddenly? Because they saw Nachshon ben Aminadav make that choice and have that decision to go into the water. And Bnei Yisrael followed. The point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not making Hamayim Lehem Choyma long in advance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not wiping out the Egyptians even before the problem arises, to be able to make room for the Klal Yisrael themselves to set themselves free. That's Teretz number one. Teretz number two. The Pasuk says in Ashrei, we say it all the time, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens and does the will of the tzaddik. Ritzon Yireyov Yaseh. The question is, how do we reconcile that part of the pasuk with the second half of the very same pasuk? Veshav Osam Yishma V'Yoshiyeh. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu does their ritzon, there should never be a moment where they are in such a matzav that they are crying out desperately to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Loshon is, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears and saves them. If it's on Yireyov Yaseh. So, the Briska Rav has a very fascinating pshat. He gives us the example of Reb Chanina ben Doisa, who in their poverty wanted to help, and therefore he brought down Min HaShamayim, was given to him a bar of gold in the shape of a table leg. And when he discovered, his wife discovered, that this is because his table in Shamayim is going to be reduced by that leg, he offered it back and it was retrieved. It was pulled back to Shamayim. And Chazal say that the latter was much more of a nace and much harder to accomplish than the former. Says the Briska Rav, Ritzayin Yireyov Yaseh, even if it is not good for the Yireyov, since he is Geyser, Tzadik Geyser, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. I then, he screams, Oy vey, what did I do? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he saves him from that as well, I'll save you, and I'll take it back. I'll take the Toiva back, because it's not good for you, in the end. That's the Briska Rav's pshat. I wanted to suggest that the pshat of the pasuk is very straightforward, and that the concept of Ritzon Yireyov Yaseh is never meant to begin with chick-chack. In other words, I anticipate the potential of hurricane, what's it called today? Isaac. See, Isaac is not nearly as bad as Katrina. Anyhow, this hurricane is already long predicted in advance. So the person, the tzaddik, is mispalel that the nature of the hurricane should be such that it moves out into sea and harms no one. That's the pshat Ritzon Yireyov Yaseh, according to everybody. What Eshav Osam Yishma V'Yoshim is saying is that no, that's not what happens. What happens is that it starts to lick the edge of the city. And the screaming of the tzaddik makes suddenly this hurricane that is about to devour the city and flood all the gates to suddenly veer to a different direction, and they emerge essentially unscathed. Why is that? Why the brinksmanship? Why wait till the last minute? So the answer is because in the Ritzon Yireyov Yaseh, there's one maila, but there's also a big chesaron. You know what the chesaron is? The chesaron is that the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes distant, because nothing can ever harm me, and I have no need to cry out to Hashem. If I'm geyser, I'm not crying. And crying is a fundamental relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the nearness of the tzara that tefila la'ani kiyatei v'lifnei Hashem yishpach sichai, with all of its negative connotation, is one of the most positive psukim in all of Tehillim. Because the idea that I can pour out my heart before Hashem has incredible implications, l'toiva, l'toiva v'livracha. And the famous expression of the Kotzker comes to mind. He asks the question, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing the Nachash. How is it that you can consider food that is always available at all times, wherever you are, v'ofer toichal kol yemei chayecha, that is a punishment? You don't like to taste ofer because we're human beings. But if he's happy with ofer and it's always available, what kind of klola is that? So he said in a very strong and harsh expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Nachash, I'll give you everything, but don't ever, ever come into my presence. I don't want to know from you. The pshat is that when a person needs and suffers, he cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is an incredible relationship and a connection. And this is what I think is the famous mashal of the two brothers that I always talk about, that the Briska Rav himself brings on the Pasuk Kavil Hashem Chazak V'Yamik Lebecha. Whether this was his intention or not, I'm not 100% sure. Every time I look at that piece in the Briska Rav about Kavil Hashem Chazak V'Yamik Lebecha, I question if that's what he had in mind. But it's Lost Sachzeya Ging Zogun. Two brothers, one was very wealthy and one was very poor, and the wealthy brother was very kind and gentle and generous. And he always took care of his brother. And they had this incredible relationship. The brother who was poor would come and kind of zachos, I don't have this, I don't have that. And the brother who was rich would always say, don't worry, everything will be all right. He'd give him an embrace, he would hug him, he would kiss him, and he would be kind and generous to a fault and give him whatever he needs. And so it went. One day, the generous brother said to himself, Lo zu haderech. He's always coming to me, he's always begging. If I'm a really good brother, I'll do something else and make him independent. I'll give him his own koiches, his own success, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu so desires. Like Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu, if you do this, v'tzivcha elekim v'yocholta amod, you need siyata d'shmaya. But he goes to his brother and says, listen, Ebshe should give you hatzlocha. I'm going to lend you $1 million. You'll make yourself a business. And you'll be matzliach. You'll pay me back and you'll have your own. And Kachav, exactly. He became eminently successful. And guess what happened? They hardly ever saw each other. They hardly ever saw each other. This one was B'choy, and this one was B'choy. He didn't need him, he didn't come to him. They didn't embrace, they didn't hug. They met occasionally at a simcha. How are you? Baruch Hashem, fine. Everything is all right. Kaveh El Hashem, person has bitachon. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him everything he wants, chick-chack, that's the end of the Kaveh El Hashem. What do you need bitachon if you have everything? I have it already. They have a maisa, that's already a madrega in Chassidus. That somebody came to the Mezritcha Magid and he's sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. Finally, Mezritcha Magid, what are you here for? He says, I'm here to learn the midah of bitachon. I heard that here you can learn about bitachon. He says, you want to learn about bitachon? There's a fellow dear, Reb Zisha. You sit next to him and you watch him and observe him. You learn about bitachon. So he sits and sits, and finally Reb Zisha says, I see you all the time. What is it that you want? He says, well, the Magid said that I should sit here to learn about bitachon. He says, bitachon? I don't know. What are you going to learn from bitachon? Bitachon you need when you don't have. I have everything. He had nothing. That was the point. But you see, when a person has bitachon, he needs to have bitachon. And a person who has everything, I'm talking about everything begashmi, everything is healthy, everything is wonderful, there's no need for bitachon. It's gate good. It couldn't be better. In the story with Reb Zisha, it was an inversion of the thing. His bitachon is so great that he's confident HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him everything that he needs, even if he has nothing. But what happens when a person has bitachon? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu reward such a person? So the answer is he gives him everything, the gashmius that he needs, the gashmius that he could use. If he gives him everything, then there's no more bitachon. Chazak v'yamitz lebecha, he gives him a greater koyach ha-bitachon, v'kaveh el Hashem. Because the alternative is to break the connection that this need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates in every person. Can't imagine that we are such lofty beings that we can somehow transcend that nekuda of need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and claim HaKadosh Baruch Hu as ours from a position of strength. It doesn't go. It doesn't go like that. Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivod is much more likely candidate than I'll be with you Hashem even though I'm super successful in every respect. So you have to have that brinksmanship that a person should know I need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if it's Son Yirei of Yaseh, it comes out of the modality of the Es Shav Osam Yishma V'Yoshiyem. So that the person should never forget that it comes from Hashem. Never forget that he needs Hashem. Never forget the connection with Hashem. That's the second pshat. What's the third pshat of the brinksmanship? So I think here you have a third pshat, which is a completely different perspective. And it's not mutually exclusive. They can all be true. The third pshat says the reason for the brinksmanship is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the mitzvim to see the ma'pola and the hatzlocha of Klal Yisrael. So he has to keep them around till the end. So for them to see the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael and then to be extinguished requires that whole brinksmanship episode, because they have to be there and they have to still be chasing till the last minute. They have to themselves enter into those walled spaces and then the waters have to engulf them. So they have to see the Yeshua themselves before their demise. Same thing with Haman. Wouldn't it have been possible for the Ribbono Shel Olam, when Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachaveh, as a reward, to simply wipe Haman from the face of the earth? Now the Teretz says he wants Haman to see, and as I told you before, I think it's more an inyan of Kiddush Hashem, he wants Haman to see the Hatzlocha of Mordechai. And therefore he needs to still be around, and the Mela, everything evolves around that, to create this incredible brinksmanship that Klal Yisrael suffered. So, but that's what he says, that Kasha Kadosh Baruch Hu Matzilis Ama Yisrael Mitzareyem, next paragraph, and kashahu meitiv letzadikim, oz b'chol kol ha'ir simcha, smecha, avol adayin einon meraninin u'mishapchim la'kodesh baruch hu. Very interesting thing. Again, the going with his relentless insistence that every word has a unique meaning, looks at this pasuk and he sees an interesting thing. That b'noigeya ba'avod rishoyim, what word is being used for simcha? Rina. And when it comes to the tzaddikim, that the whole town is excited with the tzaddikim amongst them, ta'alots, olatz libi b'ashem. That's a different lotion of simcha. So he says, if they are inspired by the toiv of the tzaddikim, they still do not come to the level of rina and shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're excited, they're happy. But in order to be mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have to see ba'avod rishoyim. He says, ach achakach kasha noikem meha oimdim aleyem, oz he meraninin u'mishabchim la'Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'zehu Betuv tzadikim ta'aloitz kirya, k'mo sh'oma v'ha'ir shushan tzohalo v'samecha, v'acharkach kashenokam HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'ayveyem oz ha'yoharina. K'mo b'yamsuf u'bepurim. V'asoidhu k'mo sh'oma bazoyar simcha b'tzafra renona b'ramsha. As I point out in the footnote, there's a Bir Hagra that we have already learned in Perek Zayin, and we spoke about this idea that the Goyin connects Simcha in the Zohar. This connection is being made, which the Goyin is amplifying, that Simcha reflects the morning and Rina reflects the night. Ein Rina shel Torah elo balayla, shenemar kumi roini balayla l'rosh hashmuras. Avram Yogel, Yitzchok Yeranim. Lachain betuv tzadikim shusoda chesed oz talitz kirya. That's Avraham. Ubavod rishoyim shuadin midas kvura oz harino shuhu beramsha. I'm not going to go into the protim and protim of what he's trying to say about the chiluk itself is fascinating. What do I mean? Leave the Zohar aside. The chiluk that the Goyin made about how people respond to the Hatzlach of the Tzaddikim versus Ba'avoid Rishayim. I explain to you, it's very, very simple. Threat and being saved from a threat always evokes a much greater reaction of Hakaras HaTayiv than just having Tayiv. I'm in a decent matzav, and I get even more than the decent. I am overwhelmed by Tayiv. I'm very grateful. But it cannot ever compare to the gratitude of, how is it described in the Pasuk in Hallel? Mekimi may offer dol, may ashpois yorim evyoin lohishivim nedivim. You take a prince on level one, and they have all kinds of levels till you become the king or the emperor. There are lots of levels. So you come closer and closer to Malchus. To go from level A to level B is a person's dream. His whole life he may be inspired by such a dream. And when it is achieved, he's very happy. But when a person is in the garbage can, and he's taken out like Yosef from the bor, and he's made the Mishnah Lemelech, that is a different hasaga. Why? Not just because of the disparity of yesterday I'm this, and today I'm the exact opposite. It's because within the Hatzlocha, there's also the element of Yeshua. If I am already a prince, there's no Yeshua in my elevation. I'm a prince, but there's Hatzlocha. But when the Hatzlocha comes together with the Yeshua, in the Yeshua, there is, of course, Rina. There's a certain feeling, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look what could have happened to me. I was Ot, and now Baruch Hashem. So that is what the Goyin has in mind. In the Ba'avod Rishoyim, the danger passes. That's exactly what happened by the Mitzrim, and it's exactly what happened by Haman. It's obvious. So when, as long as Haman was around, there was always the possibility that tomorrow tables will be turned against Klal Yisrael. And the smell of the gas chambers, you understand, the stench of the gas chambers was still there in their nostrils. Because maybe this particular was thwarted, but maybe tomorrow he'll go back into power. Especially with such a fickle Meshugana, that there's a machloikas, whether he was a melech tipesh or not, you see very, 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 very clearly that anything could be. Today he could be like this with Haman, and tomorrow he could be his best friend again. So memeli, you never know. And in that fear and anxiety, you can never feel perfectly good about the matzav, and memeli rina is not shayach. Ani bechazdecho batachti yoger libi b'shuasecha ashira l'Hashem ki gomal aloi, because he saved me b'shuasecha. So that's why he says what he says. Now the pasuk says ba'avod rishoyim rina. I'm going to require another session for this. I'm just going to give you the initial expression of the topic and of the issue. The Medrash here, the Sifri and the Bamidbar Rabbah, are essentially the same. By the demise of Korach, Va'adosoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I choose Aaron and the Kohanim. And no stranger can enter into the portals which are permitted to Kohanim. And the Kohanim thereby are elevated, and the rest of Klal Yisrael is separated and set apart. In the Bamidbar Rabbah segment, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe le'Emor, Va'ani hinei lokachti. I chose Shevet Levi. I chose Aaron. Says Rabbi Yishmael, Va'ani, the word Va'ani, when you see it, it means besimcha. It's a code word. It doesn't just mean and I. It means an I with simcha. Hine, what does hine mean? Beratzai. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Amru loy talmidav Rabbeinu. Wait a minute. If you're going to tell me that va'ani is a code word, then I have to say that wherever it says the word va'ani, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says va'ani, it means besimcha. So how do you reconcile that thought with the pasuk by the Mabul? That's what the Talmidim is to Rabbi Yishmael. Doesn't it say Va'ani by the Mabul? So how could you say it's besimcha? He's destroying the world. Shalu, Amr lo talmid of Rabbeinu lefishu oim of ani hinini mevi es hamabu mayim ala oret shemeani yesh simcha lefnei amokim. So he answered them, yes, indeed. That is exactly correct. The va'ani in that pasuk is besimcha. How so? He says, Amar lohem yesh simcha lefnei amokim. Kisheyavdu machisav, when those who anger him are perishing. V'cheinu oimer, and he quotes our pasuk. V'tuv tzadikim ta'alitz kirya, u'ba'avoid rishoyim rina. And then it says, v'oimer shinei rishoyim shibarta, v'oimer l'ashem ha'yishuel amcha b'chasecha selah, v'oimer Hashem melech oylam v'ed avdu goyim me'atzai, v'oimer yitamu chatoyim, V'omer u'ba'avod rishayim rina. So this V'omer u'ba'avod rishayim rina is a problem because he already quoted the pasuk earlier. If you look at the Sifri, who says essentially the same thing, they taka have the seder correctly. We now go to page 3. Very remarkable Tonat Ve'eliyahu, and it also gives us an understanding of the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel. The Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel weren't asking, you mean to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy in wiping out people? Because getting rid of, what's war? What is the definition of war? You attack me, I kill you. How do I have a right to kill you? Because you're going to kill me. To bring Ra la'olam, and to bring Hashchosa to the olam, is a destruction of the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevents that from happening. He has to wipe them out and make a new world from Noach. So what's the kasha? Of course there's simcha. So the teretz is, the pasuk says beferish b'nefoil ayivcha al tismach. Enoch Anami is your enemy at the gates, but when he falls, do not rejoice. But there's a stira because our pasuk says ba'avod rishayim rina. So how do you ketzad yiskayimu, says the Tanit Ve'eliyahu, shnei k'suvim halolu? He says b'talmid chacham. This is a remarkable shtickle. Because the pasuk says b'nefoil yivcha. What's the simple way of, when a person reads those words, what does he imagine? He certainly doesn't imagine two talmidei chacham in the Beis Medrash. He imagines the Huns and the Tartars. Attila the Hun is coming to the gates of Rome. That's what it sounds like. B'nefoil yivcha. Keitzad yiskayim u'shnei k'suvim alolu b'talmid chacham shenitzach acha b'halocha hayoyim. He says, there was a certain Talmud Chacham that won the day b'yom shlishi b'shabbos in the debate in the Beis HaMedrash, and you felt like a fool. The next day the tables were turned. Don't rejoice at his suffering. Don't rejoice that he now is the victim, ke'ilu, that he messed up, that he got the wrong pshat, that he said the stupid svara. Why is he a yivcha? Because you already have a tina belibcha that he got the best of you the other day. It's pile ploy. He says, "Im ra'isa echad mi Yisrael sheroitze bera'asa shel chaveiro, zehu rasha gomor. Minayin teida l'choshekein, tzei lamad minovel ha'karmeli, shebo oisan asara talmidim ro kol oisa achilu shesiyav loynenu mimenu." And they ask, what's aseres yomim? You want to say a small amount, you say a couple of days. You want to say a large amount, say 40 or 50 days. Let's skip two lines. Vahika aseres hayomim. Elo aseres yomim shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom HaKippurim. In other words, the days pass by with the opportunity to do tshuva, doime to the tkufa of Bein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, which is the Aseres Hayom. Uma inyon shel achra v'yishma David ki meis novel. V'yoyim baruch Hashem. Asher Rav is Riv Cherpasi. Bevadai Yochin Rosha v'yitzadik Yilbosh Zuhi Achrisa Shaloylob. What is the Tanit Ve'eliyahu want over here? So he says, basically, I believe
that the psukim of Benefoila Yivcha is in lower case, if you will. They're not talking about Rishoyim. They're not talking about genuine Rishoyim. But when you have genuine Rishoyim, you can rejoice at their demise because they had the opportunity to do tshuva and they didn't take it, and therefore they were wiped out, and that the Kodesh Baruch Hu takes care of them, you have every right to be excited and to sing and to rejoice. Bavod Rishoyim Rina. And the Pasuk of Benefolo Yivcha is to be understood with that chav. It's not Benefol Oyev, it's Oyivcha, and it's referring as a mashal to the Melchama of Torah that you have in the Beis Medrash, and this person really isn't your Oyev in the normal sense, and he's certainly not a Rasha. And the Pasuk is telling you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be happy if you enjoy somebody else's failing because you have it in it for him for a moment where he was triumphant over you. In other words, the Tanit Ve'Leyo is taking it out of its context entirely in terms of Bavod Rishoyim Rina and saying that this Pasuk has nothing to do with that at all, and therefore it's not a steal. But what the Tanit Ve'Leyo does corroborate is that when it's talking about real Rishoyim, then Einochanami Bavod Rishoyim Rina. The Zohar, and this is a very fascinating thing. Generally, I don't bring the Zohar, certainly not in full measure, but the Marsha asks Akasha in Brachas Davtes, which all the Mefarshim are busy with, including the Tzlach and the Sfas Emes, and a whole slew of other Sfar. And the question that is raised is, that it says in the Gemara, it's already past the Daf Yomi, so many of you might know it, who are learning the Daf Yomi, that David HaMelech said 103 kapitlach Tehillim before he said Halleluka, Al Shero'a Mapoloson Shel Rishoyim, because he saw the fall, the destruction, the failure of the Rishoyim. So then he was Meshabeach Ba'ofen Gadol with a Halleluka. Zokta Ma'asha in the Chidusha Agadais, Mikan Koshe L'Mashe Kosvu B'Shem HaMedrash. This Medrash is very well known, even though it's not Beferish in a Gemara, but the Yalkut Shimoni brings it down in Mishlei Remez Tov Tov Kuf Samach, that the reason that you don't say Hallel on the last day of Pesach is because... Now let me tell you something right here that we shouldn't make a mistake. Why do we say Hallel every day of Sukkot? Hallel Shalom. The answer is because the days are not redundant, as is proven by the Chiluk Karbonos. So each day has its own uniqueness, if you will. Based on that, the seventh day of Pesach's Karbonos are the same as the first day of Pesach's Karbonos. And therefore, mitzad the Yom Tov, there was never a havamina to say Hallel Shalom. Novos, because it's Shvi Shal Pesach, is the day of the Yeshua of Klal Yisrael at Yam Suf, the mitzad also lehem neis, there should have been a Hallel Shalom. So even though the Karbonos may not warrant it, but the neis requires it. And Afal Pikein, what do you see? That not only are the middle days Chatzi Hallel, but even the seventh day, the day of the Nes of the Hatzolah of Yam Suf, is still Chatzi Hallel. Question is why? So what is the answer? So the answer is She'ein Oimim Hallel B'Yom Akron Shal Pesach Mishrim Shom HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ma'ise Yodai Toivim Bayam Va'atem Oimim Shira V'Harei Hocha Amru Behepach. This is the Tzlach's quotation of the Kash of the Marsha, correct? That's the question. So, skip the next five lines, beginning of the paragraph of HaKushya. V'HaKushya Shehiksha Marsha B'Maseches Brachas Motsasi B'Zoyar Parshas Noyach Tav Samachalu from Beis Defus Amsterdam V'Zel L'Shoinu.
And he quotes the Zohar, which we will do Bezus Hashem next time. But I quote here in the footnote that the Chidah gives another teretz in the Sefer Tzavri Sholol. You know, the Chidah wrote so many Sfarim that you have to have a tremendous zikaron just to remember the names of his Sfarim, never mind what he wrote inside. Tzfas Emes gives the same teretz, very bekitzer, as the Tzlach, that the Zohar answers the Maharsha's Kasha. That means to say the Zohar was concerned about this issue, and the resolution is found to the question which the Maharsha also asks. After that, continuing until the end, is the Tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer, and also Tshuva, or discussion of the Halacha of Rav Sternbuch, and his Tshuvas Vanogos, deals Halacha L'maisa with the consequences of Bavod Rishoyim Rina. As I told you at the beginning of the shiur, we will ask what about Reis and Kriya, and we will also ask about Avelus for people who are Mishumadim, for example. I mean, out and out Rishoyim. And in the context of that, I'd like to raise a point that is raised by a number of Poskim and Rabbonim, Balei Halacha. Is it today possible to suggest that not only are there a category of Tinoko Shenishbu, but even the people who grew up in a good environment and strayed and went off the derech, like the kids at risk? So you have to understand something very fascinating that at least I found extremely fascinating. A person goes off the derech sometimes. He gets ideas in his head. He's inspired by some philosopher, by some apikoros, by some neshumad. And he's actually taught not to believe Rachmana Litzlan in the dictates of the Torah. And the consequences of his pu'ulos are as a result. He's disemboweled of his emuna, and the male, everything else falls away. Because it's like a domino thing. If you believe in the Torah and you have a Masaira that leads you back to Har-Sinai, then you keep the mitzvahs of the Torah. Once the top is cut off, the rest is completely dead. The dead letter. But then sometimes you find people who have no shaykhus to machshava. They don't have a machshava in their heads. They're not capable of machshava. So what they do to begin with is basically rooted in a kind of mitzvah sanoshim melumada. That's the way the Tate feelzach, and that's the way the Zayde feelzach, and that's the way Yich feelzach. What exactly happens all of a sudden when they turn on the light switch on Shabbos for the first time or smoke their first cigarette on Shabbos? Where does that come from? It's a fascinating question. Now, when, and if you ever see two magnets when they come towards one another, there's like an opposing force. A normal Erlich Yid, if he discovers that his hand is right next to the light switch on Shabbos, his hand starts to shake, and there's a force that's pushing his hand away. Mamish, almost a real force. How is it possible for someone to overcome that and actually turn on the lights? L'chayre, it's impossible to do. So I'm just wondering if it's not possible to suggest that a concept of Tinek Shenishba exists even in someone who appears to have made a conscious decision to abandon Derech Avosaf. And all these kids nabach that reizach in the street, I mean, it's frightening. It's mamish frightening. From the choshevs to mishpachas. So what happened? What is it? This person is an enlightened apikoros. He read Spinoza. I mean, what are we talking about over here? He's a kid, a garnish. I mean, he really is a garnish. He's a yekel. So why him and not his brother? His brother's sitting and learning by his mother. And not his sister. You say, because maybe he didn't have atzloch and learn. He started to psychoanalyze and to make all kinds of... It's not poshut. Not poshut at all. It's mamish not poshut. It's almost an accident sometimes. So how could you have an accident about dvarim, om, dim, rumish, alolam? Because the answer is the air is poisoned. The air is poisoned. And when the air is poisoned, you never know whose immunity is simply not strong enough, because we don't know about immunities. And the mela, you can send a kid to yeshiva, and you could have, he could even be matzliach, and who knows what happened, but all of a sudden something, and all the psychologists are going to look for reasons. And this, and this, and this, and this, they weren't good parents. How come they were good parents for all the others? And he had a bad Rebbe. How come somebody had 10 bad Rebbeim and turned out to become a Rebbe? Good or bad, I don't know, himself. But all of a sudden, it's not pashut. This person has more taifa, and let's say he does have more taifa, so the taifa makes him a tinek shenishma. It's a world today where the foundations are rattling. It's a world today where the atmosphere is full of sun, full of hedonism, full of hefkeris, full of stupidity. Stupidity is a very dangerous weapon in the hands of the satan. You don't think big, you don't think lofty, you don't think beyond yourself, you don't think beyond your typhus. But if that's the spirit, that's the air, everything you do and touch is kula oimer sheker, kula oimer chanev, kula oimer shtus, kula oimer nevola, then maybe there is in every person's mitzius a tinek shenishba possibility. Even with all of the education and all of the trappings of a religious environment and a religious education. So I'm not confident that we are not, I'm not saying yes, but I'm saying that the question can be raised. And memela, the consequences, I mean, these are very desperate halachas. We're talking about avelus and kvura and kriya. But you could maybe perhaps understand that the matzah today cannot be regarded in the same way as perhaps in earlier times. Perhaps. Anfals, the whole idea of Tinoka Shenishbu was a revolutionary idea, because we are not talking about people who are captured. I mean, even when you speak about Tinoka Shenishbu, they didn't have the education. But we're not talking about people who are captured by the Goyim and they were raised as Goyim. They were still raised as Jews. And maybe they should have found out about their heritage. So that is already a chiddush, that they're called Tinoka Shenishbu. But maybe we could stretch it even further, unfortunately, Bizman Hazeh, Bizmanein.